Shabbat Shalom. I have to thank my proxy, Jaden. Thank you for doing that for me. Shemini, 8th, Leviticus 9:1 through 11:47. To put this in perspective and in context, we have to look at a few verses before Leviticus 9. We'll go back up to Leviticus 8:31 to 36, and we read that, "And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of consecrated offerings, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire, and you shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days, until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you. And he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore, you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting day and night for 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die. For so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded them to do by the hand of Moses. On the 8th day, following the 7 days of their inauguration, if you put it, want to put it that way, their consecration to the Lord, Aaron and his sons began to officiate as priests. A fire issues forth from God to consume the offerings on the altar, and the presence of God comes down to dwell in the tabernacle. Now, Aaron's two elder sons, Nadab and Abihu, offer a strange fire before the God, which he commanded them not to do. And they died before God. Aaron is silent in the face of this tragedy. His silence was a heartbreaking expression of his grief. He does not know what to make of the situation, but Moses reminded him, "Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy in the sight of all the people. I will be honored." You've heard me say it before. You've heard Pastor Sam say it before. Our God is a God of order. Our God does not interrupt himself. Our God just doesn't archaically do things. He has a purpose and a plan. He specifically lays out the instructions for a variety of things. Now, Aaron's sons saw God consume the sacrifice and wanted to offer their own. They had good intentions. They said that they were offered strange fire. Some translations call it profane fire. Now, Pastor Sam recently did a sermon on profane versus holy. Profane doesn't necessarily mean evil. It just means common. And in this particular case, this fire that came down from heaven to consume the offering was from God. It was holy fire. And he said, "This is the fire that you shall use, because it's holy." Exodus mentions several times that the fire in the altar was to burn continuously. God wanted a perpetual burning fire, the altar. One reason the ongoing fire was so important is that it was started directly by God. We read that fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. That's Leviticus 9:24. The fire on the altar, therefore, served as a constant reminder of God's power. It was a gift from heaven, and no other source of fire was acceptable to God. The continuously burning divine fire at the altar of burnt offering helped remind the Israelites of the reality of God's presence and of their need for him. The sacred fire endured throughout the 40 years in the desert, and likely beyond that, as tabernacle worship continued until the time of King Solomon and the building of the temple. In 2 Chronicles 7, we see that God once again lit the fire on the altar. And as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Nadab and Abihu disregarded the solemn and exacting instruction they had been given. They filled their censers with fire that did not originate from the holy fire. They entered the tabernacle with a profane fire, a common fire, a fire that afforded them no protection at all. And they instantly perished. This was such a serious violation that they were not even to be mourned. Now we see a similar incident in 1 Chronicles when King David's bringing back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And when the Ark started to fall over, a man reached out and touched the Ark to catch it, and he immediately was struck dead. He had good intentions. Why? Because he was not one of the Levites God had authorized to serve in this sacred, reserved role. He had good intentions. God himself could have kept that from happening. But God's instructions are to be followed. So, what can we take away from this? We live in a time of God's grace. We don't have to jump through hoops and ceremonial actions to become into the presence of the Lord. But shouldn't we prepare ourselves and our hearts before coming to worship Him? Shouldn't we have a correct attitude when we enter this building to meet with Him, to rest in Him? In the book of Psalms, it's written, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy." It's unfortunate but worship is not entertainment. We're not here to entertain you. There are some places you go on Sunday morning that they entertain you, and that's their sole purpose, is for entertainment. Worship is not entertainment. It's not playtime. It's not a time to have a conversation while the pastor's preaching or the worship's going on. It's a time of worshiping the Lord. In addition, there's not one of us that comes up here without preparing. Some may think, "Oh, Sam only works 2 days a week. What a job." No. I can tell you that's not true. And the days off that he does get, he usually ends up working them as well. There's not one of us that comes up here flippantly, just wakes up in the morning and goes, "I think I'll just go." No. Whether we share a parsha, whether we lead worship, we bring the sermon. Preparation to meet God is utmost. It's the most important thing we can do before coming in this building. Prayer, the study of God's word, and preparation. But most importantly, prayer is the key to all this. The leadership here is no different than anybody else. We all need to prepare to meet with our God. Shabbat shalom.